Oh, these long weeks when Monday Night Football is coming to town. Hello, everyone. I'm Dave Spadaro along with Chris McPherson, and it's Eagles 360 here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And we just cannot wait for Monday night to arrive. The Eagles and the Panthers, a chance to see an Eagles team, Chris, that's taken a couple of hits. And all week long, we've talked about it. They've just gotten right back up and business as usual.
So many storylines to follow for this exciting Monday night game. What will Mark Sanchez do at quarterback? How will the defense respond without D'Amico Ryans? And can the Carolina Panthers, who are desperate for a win, they have not felt victory in over a month now, can they bounce back as they are 3-5-1 and need to turn their season around with a win on Monday night? But Lincoln Financial Field will be absolutely electric. 70,000 fans. It is going to be a fun atmosphere.
Yeah, it'll be a great time on Monday night. Eagles getting back to it, wearing their green jerseys for the first time this season. So let's get you caught up with everything happening today here at the NovaCare Complex. We throw it out to Bo Wolf, our Eagles 360 update presented by Sports Authority.
Thanks, guys. And as the Eagles move forward on offense with Mark Sanchez at quarterback for the near future, some of his teammates, including the reigning NFC Offensive Player of the Week, Jeremy Maclin, and his head coach, Chip Kelly, talk about why Sanchez is here and what's next for this offense.
I just think he came in and was a really good teammate from the get-go, you know, and I think it's important that everybody gets along and as everybody's on the same page. And I think he has the same goals and aspirations as the other guys in the locker room, and it was a you know, it wasn't one of those where it took him a little while for people to kind of understand him. I think he's a likable guy. I think people understand that he's here because he wants to win. You know, it's not about Mark, it's about the Eagles, and I think he fits in with the rest of the guys in the locker room.
And I just think that, you know, sometimes, you know, a change is what people need. And I think that has done, you know, Mark, you know, pretty good. And I think, you know, one thing he has going for himself, you know, he's won a lot of football games. So I think we're very, very confident in him going forward.
He can throw the deep ball, the short balls, makes the right reads. And he also can run the ball effective enough if you need to keep a defense honest as far as with the reads, the read options. So I like him. I always liked him. I think when we got him, I was excited because I knew what type of player he was. And a great piece to this team.
Now the key for Sanchez and the offense goes beyond the passing game. Of course, the resurgent running game, very much a factor in the near future. LeSean McCoy over 100 yards last week against the Texans. But all three running backs getting into the mix, Shady says that is going to be a key moving forward.
And just with Sproles, he's such a special player in himself. I mean, his ability to do everything from catching to running. And then you put the physical part in the game with Chris. Special in the short yardage type of downs. That's been his thing. You know, he's a big back and he runs extremely hard. So it's a nice matchup to have all of us healthy. So if anybody happens to go down, you know, somebody can step in and you know, play their role.
Now, just because Mark Sanchez will be under center the next few weeks, that does not mean that the Eagles turn their back on Nick Foles. Quite to the contrary, says head coach Chip Kelly. He says that we would all be a lot better if everybody was more like Nick Foles.
I've got great faith in Nick, and I think he's a hell of a quarterback, and I think sometimes he gets banged too much, but I wish there was more people like Nick Foles in our lives.
That'll do it for your 360 update presented by Sports Authority. Back to you guys in the studio.
Well, thank you very much, Bo. I think the theme of the show today is play-by-play. And first up, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles when we return. Merrill Reese has seen a whole lot in his years as the Eagles play-by-play voice. So the loss of a starting quarterback, the loss of a quarterback on defense, just bumps in the road as far as the golden one is concerned. We visit with the voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese, when 360 returns.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Life is more than a heartbeat. It's more than what you see on a CAT scan or echocardiogram. And although we see some of the most rare and complicated heart conditions and continue to advance the frontiers of heart care every day, we never forget what we're really looking at. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
Ah, how things change so quickly in the NFL. Locker rooms have some injuries. Everybody picks up the slack and we move on. One thing that obviously stays the same, fortunately for us, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, remains Merrill Reese, and he joins me, Dave Spadaro, in studio today. You know this, Merrill. We've talked about it all week. Injuries, players down, key members not going to be there. How do the Eagles pick up the pieces?
You just have to. There was an adage that was put together, and it said, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. Throw that out the window. That's not the case. The case is, and Chip Kelly has made this case from day one, that in this league you must have two starting quality quarterbacks. And that's what the Eagles have.
And I give Howie Roseman and staff and Chip and everybody a lot of credit, because Mark Sanchez stepped up for the Eagles. Brandon Whedon, in his first start, did not for the Dallas Cowboys.
That's a big difference. Yeah. That's predictable. You're coming with a quarterback who's gone to two AFC championship games, to a quarterback who hardly won as a Cleveland Brown.
And we've seen it, Merrill, with A.J. Feely and Jeff Garcia. They've won in the past down the stretch.
Well, let me give you a good example.
Okay.
2005, Donovan McNabb went down. Mike McMahon came in, and it was a 6-10. Yeah, but McMahon never won. They were, I think, 1-5 with the Mike McMahon.
You really thought he was going to be a good player, didn't we?
Well,
until we saw him play.
Somebody did. Yeah. And then the following year, Donovan McNabb went down. In came Jeff Garcia, and rode them right into the playoffs.
All right, let's talk about Sanchez. What you've seen from him, what you expect from him.
I think he's a very fine quarterback. I think he moves well. I think he's smart. I think he has poise. Chip said it. He's got NFL feet. He's got an NFL arm. I think he's a very good quarterback. He was the fifth player taken in the draft when he came out of Southern Cal. I liked him. I watched him just with an incredible college performance in the Rose Bowl against Penn State. And
I remember you raving about him.
He's a very, very fine quarterback.
So now number two is Matt Barkley. Your thoughts on Barkley? Should he be forced into action here?
I haven't seen Matt Barkley, obviously, since the summer. He looked this summer when he went into play as if he was a lot more ready to compete on an NFL level than he had been last year as a rookie. His arm strength is much greater than it was when he came in following shoulder surgery. So I think he's prepared.
Yeah, I think, Merle, when I look at the offense, now they haven't been good in the red zone for the most part. Turnovers, way too many. But when they get this together, and I do expect them to, mm-hmm. I think this offense is better than last year's offense. I think Jeremy Maclin has shown us that he can be that all-around receiver. The offensive line is the question, though. Without Todd Harriman's at right guard, Matt Tobin, Andrew Gardner there, can they make up the slack?
I think they can. And when you compare this team with last year's offense, there's one other component. Yeah, you lost to Sean Jackson, but you gained Darren Sproles. And if you were to say to me, who's the MVP of the offense in the first eight games, Darren Sproles would be a candidate, and so would Jeremy Maclin. But those are two guys who have made a big, big difference who weren't part of the offense a year ago.
On the defensive side, you lose your heart and soul, D'Amico Ryans. Difficult void to fill. How do the Eagles do it?
It is, and they're going to do it with Casey Matthews and Emmanuel Acho. Guys judge Casey Matthews, a lot of fans, on the trouble he had acclimating himself to the NFL as a rookie coming out of Oregon. But several years have passed, and Casey Matthews has grown. And in the view of my partner, Mike Quick, who has gone through game tape, Casey Matthews played three very solid games in place of Michael Kendricks in his last performances. So I look forward to him coming in and playing well. I'm not saying he's going to be a even replacement for D'Amico Ryans. You don't lose a D'Amico Ryans and then make up for all of that in one fell swoop. But I don't think it's going to be a disaster either.
Your thoughts, Merrill? The Carolina Panthers in town, struggling, no wins in their last four games, winless on the road, a lot of injuries. Still a good football team. Dangerous.
Dangerous because they have a quarterback who can run and who can pass. But if you look at his statistics this year, they were no better than Nick Foles. And a lot of people felt that Foles was not having the kind of year that they expected. And I still think Nick Foles has a very, very bright future and a lot of talent. Well, Cam Newton has a lot of talent, too. But I believe his quarterback rating was 81.4, while Nick's was 81.5. He threw 57% in his completions. Mm-hmm. Nick was about 60. Mm-hmm. He has 8 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions, and he just has, you know, he has more yards rushing. He has 247 or 57 yards.
And that's the component that you wonder about.
That's the one thing you have to watch out for.
Yeah. Make sure you turn down your TVs on this game. Listen to Maryland Mike. Game time, 8:30, 8:35, and should be a good one. Eagles back in prime time against the Carolina Panthers. Merrill Reesby, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
On PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hey, Eagles fans!
When the Eagles win,
you win.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win.
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
The Eagles and NRG are proud to bring you a collectible poster each and every Thursday during the month of November. Pick up the Philadelphia Daily News today and collect all 4 pieces thanks to NRG. Well, it's time to take a little look from a different perspective. It's our Cover 2 segment. Chris McPherson out of here, now in the Fan Cave with Tim McManus from PhillyMag.com and Jeff Mosher from CSNPhilly.com.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to this week's Cover 2 here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We have a lot to get into after a big win over the Houston Texans, but some big injuries were incurred during the process. To break down the action, I brought on Tim McManus from Birds 24/7 and Jeff Mosher from Comcast Sportsnet. And folks, let's just get right to the quarterback situation. That's always the big topic, no matter what. So Mark Sanchez takes over for Nick Foles. Tim, in your estimation, how do you think Sanchez will do now that he has the reins of being the starting quarterback for the Eagles?
Well, I mean, to be determined how he does in a regular season. I thought that he acquitted himself pretty well in place of Foles when he got hurt in Houston. And I thought that he was, to be perfectly honest with you, I think that he was the better quarterback in training camp out of the two. If Chip Kelly ran the kind of quarterback competition that he did a year before, I think you can make a case that Mark Sanchez would have won it. That's partly because I didn't think Foles looked quite as good as we were accustomed to him seeing, and also because Sanchez seemed to acclimate to the system very well and be comfortable in the up-tempo. Now, there's the caveat that he was working against second team. You have to take all these things into consideration. But what I saw out of him in the preseason I thought was really encouraging.
Mosher, why do you think Sanchez's skill set is good for Chip Kelly and Pat Shurmur's offense?
Who said I did?
I'm putting the word in your mouth, then, Arthur.
No, I mean, I'm kind of in Tim's camp where we got a lot to see here. I think Mark Sanchez is probably surrounded by more playmakers than he ever was with the Jets, so I think he's in a better position to succeed. And I agree that he had the better training camp, although it's hard in the preseason, you never know what a guy's working on, be it the starter, the backup, and again, you factor in the second teams. But he certainly had a good preseason. He certainly came in and did a good job against the Texans. I always think you have the advantage of coming in when the defense doesn't really have a week to prepare for you. So now teams are going to have weeks to prepare for Mark Sanchez, and we're really going to see if what we saw in preseason training camp can now come into fruition as a regular season quarterback. So to answer your question, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to expect from Mark. I assume he'll be a better quarterback than his last few days with the Jets because he has more around him. But that's about all that I think anybody can assume right now.
Just speaking of what's around him, you look at the offensive line, you're getting Evan Mathis back, an all-pro guard. That's good news. Bad news is Todd Harriman's one of the Warriors, the toughest guys on his team, battled in the first half through a biceps injury. Just placed on injured reserve, not going to be able to play the rest of the season. How do you think the offensive line will help or maybe hinder Sanchez?
Well, what they lose in Todd Harriman's is really just a warrior. I mean, just a guy who gave it all. And I'm not saying Matt Tobin isn't as much, but he's got to prove it. And Matt Tobin is still young and still developing, and I think he's made good strides over the past few game, guys. But, you know, again, when you lose a leader, when we talk about Nick and we talk about D'Amico, that's just another example of what they're losing. From a talent standpoint, though, I think Matt's a guy on the rise. And with Evan coming back, this should be a good offensive line as long as, you know, knock on wood, it can act, these five guys can stay healthy.
Tim, they've had over 500 rushing yards in the last three contests. Do you think that success on the ground will continue with Mathis coming back?
I think so. I mean, one thing that you saw last week is Jason Kelce being able to get to that second level. So you're having that element added back into the run game. When Lane Johnson came back from his suspension, the running game went up a notch. And I think with Jason Kelce coming back, it went another. And in theory, even though losing Todd Harriman's might be being underplayed slightly in this town right now, the fact that you're getting Evan Mathis back as an all-pro guard is going to be real big for this team.
Now, of course, we got to go to the defense. And maybe, in my estimation, the bigger loss is going to be the loss of D'Amico Ryans, not just from the playmaking ability, but the leadership standpoint. Tim, how do you think that they'll be able to overcome the loss of Ryans?
Not totally convinced that they're going to be able to. I mean, that's still to be determined. Billy Davis talked leading into that Houston game about how D'Amico allows them to do so many different things, and without him, they wouldn't be able to do as much. Well, now they're down D'Amico, so what are they going to be able to do compared to when he's in there? And you have three different guys that are going to be calling the signals. So Casey Matthews and Emmanuel Acho, when they're in there for base, when it's dime or nickel, it's going to be Kendricks. And that, at least to me, seems like it might be slightly confusing of who's calling it now and what's the situation. And so I think that you lose a little bit of the continuity. Not that it can't be overcome, but I think it's going to take a collective effort in order to replace Ryans.
Jeff, how do you think it's going to work from a leadership standpoint because of Ryans? Was Mufasa, as Chip Kelly called him.
Right. You know, the one thing I think that they have on defense are veteran leaders who can collectively step up and replace that. They have Connor Barwin. They have Trent Cole. They have Malcolm Jenkins, who has been a leader since the day he walked in here. Kerry Williams is a guy that people kind of really gravitate to because of how emotional he gets. So it's not like they're, you know, completely a young defense with not a lot of outspoken guys. I think from a leadership standpoint, they will be okay. I echo Tim's sentiment, though, just about having such a mix of personnel in there at a linebacker position. And we've seen this defense play really well in almost every game and then just have three or four breakdowns, whether they be communication breakdowns, technique breakdowns, whatever, that results in about two or three game-changing plays given up. And now I feel like you kind of invite a few more of those to happen when you have that lack of continuity in the interior level there.
So many storylines to follow. He's Jeff Mosher. He's Tim McManus. I'm Chris McPherson. Thank you very much for joining us in this week's Cover 2 on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Well, thank you very much, fellas. When we return to Eagles 360, Chris McPherson scurrying to get back over into the Xfinity studio here. I'm going to jump out of my seat. He's going to take over the controls, and he'll talk with the Carolina Panthers play-by-play man, Mick Mixon. Next year on Eagles 360.
When you get away from smartphones and video games and tablets, it's amazing what you can really plug into. This season, shop the brands you love, plus thousands of items on sale now. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
The tournament is there. You're here. And before you take the team's star midfielder from here to there, along with his entourage, you have some things to do, like finding a place to stay, getting an oil change, mapping out the best route. Yes. Are we there yet? No. Roadside assistance? Not today, but always on call. So wherever your journey takes you, AAA helps you get there. So everyone's a winner. Start your journey at AAA.com.
Hey, Eagles fans!
When the Eagles win,
you win!
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
It's time to go behind enemy lines here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and we bring in the voice of the Carolina Panthers, Mick Mixon. Mick, in your estimation, what is the biggest difference in this Carolina Panthers team that won the NFC South a year ago that has struggled through the first half of the 2014 season?
Chris, I'd say the Panthers are just not getting the pass rush that Carolina was accustomed to a year ago. We naturally missed Greg Hardy, 15 sacks from a year ago. Frank Alexander, another end. The Panther defensive intensity has ratcheted up the last couple of weeks, but you know, I think last year's defense didn't just pressure the pocket, they collapsed it and made opposing quarterbacks have to at least keep half an eye on the defense and one eye on their own receiver. So that's been the biggest difference. We got some new faces in the back half, but I think that component of the defense is on the come. If only that that front four can do a better job getting to the quarterback, it'll give the Panthers some hope moving forward.
Even though there's been changes up front and in the back end of that defense, Luke Kuechly is still the glue in the middle of the defense. How good has he been after a tremendous 2013 season?
Oh, it's fantastic, Chris. He and Thomas Davis both. I mean, two of the best. Luke Kuechly is one of the best zone drop pass coverage linebackers in football. Thomas Davis has not just made medical history but football history, and coming back from three major knee operations to play at an extremely high level the last couple of years. These guys fly around. They've got a real appetite for the physical side, and they're smart football players and good locker room forces as well.
Now, Ron Rivera, the head coach, Sean McDermott, they have some roots here in Philadelphia, and they came from the Jim Johnson School of Defense where they know to blitz, blitz, and blitz a little bit more. Do you expect them to ramp up the pressure going against Mark Sanchez, who's making his first start in two seasons?
Yeah, I would think so, but I think you got to be careful because Philadelphia's that fast-twitch offense gets on you so quickly, and it seems designed to counterpunch and to hit you in areas that have been vacated by an additional pass rusher. But you're right, we love Sean McDermott in the Carolinas. I mean, he's come in and impressed a lot of people. He looks, even though the Panther defense has struggled some this year, as we've talked about, Chris, he looks like a head coach in waiting, and so I think he'll have hopefully some exotic things dialed up for Mark Sanchez and that offense.
We're talking to Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, as we go behind enemy lines here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's look at that Panthers offense. Cam Newton, now right now he's on pace for the fewest rushing yards in his career, but Mick, in my estimation, he looks like he's been getting healthier the last couple of weeks, looking a lot more comfortable on that ankle, which he had surgery on in the offseason.
I agree with you, Chris, and you know, Trent Dilfer and other national guys have counseled us when quarterbacks mature and when they get better, they tend to run less. So I think the Panthers really don't want Cam to be rushing for 750 yards in a season, but they do want him to be able to escape and prolong the play and make some yards in the quarterback, sort of that cue dart, the quarterback draw, that sprint right option pass that Cam Newton is so good at, and then also some of the ride and read. So it does seem like he trusts the ankle more. The ribs have calmed down, and we've seen a little bit of that Houdini-like magic the last few weeks from Cam Newton. Unfortunately, though, he's had to do that because the integrity of the Panther pocket has not been preserved.
Now, at the same time, Mickey mentioned that, but there's three key members of the offensive line who could be back for this Monday night matchup. If they are all able to return and fortify that line, how much easier will that make it, not only for Newton, but for D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart in the run game?
Oh, I think it would at least, by any measured analysis, it would at least give the Panthers some hope for this game. I mean, especially the guards. Trey Turner and Mene Sulatolu both being out. I mean, that's really handicapped Ryan Khalil, Nate Chandler, and then hopefully the Panthers will get Byron Bell back as well. So I think you're right in the honey hole of this thing. If the Panther O-line can get a little healthier, this will be 11 days between games for the Panthers, almost like a little mini bye week, and it's been very necessary.
How impressed have you been by the rookie Kelvin Benjamin, 6'5", a vertical threat, can win at the point of attack, so dangerous, and seems to be the go-to guy already for Cam Newton?
Well, he's got that catch radius that you like, and then Cam Newton's default bad throw tends to be wild high. He's thrown a couple this last game or two. They were even too tall for Kelvin Benjamin, but Benjamin is very gifted, and he uses his body well. He knows how to wall defenders off, very good in the red zone. And he seems to have a good short memory, Chris. He'll follow, if he does plumber one, he'll follow that with a spectacular catch.
Mick, last question here. How do you see the Panthers rebounding a tough division loss Thursday Night Football a week ago? They had some opportunities early in the game. How do you see them bouncing back, coming off, like you said, this mini bye, going in prime time against a 6-2 Eagles team?
Well, it's a desperate situation, even at 3-5-1 for the Panthers, Chris. I think you'll see Carolina play hard and play well. Whether it'll be enough, of course, we'll have to wait and see. But the Panthers have to have this game. I mean, it's not. We're looking at a three-game November with a bye week. We've not had a bye week yet. And I think this month is going to determine how meaningful December may or may not be for the Carolina Panthers.
Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, taking us behind enemy lines here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Mick, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified, authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
Xbox One is giving you the chance to play with a pro. Enter to win a brand new Xbox One console and play a game of Madden NFL 2015 against Eagles cornerback Brandon Boykin at the NovaCare Complex. Enter today at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/Xbox. Sweepstakes are open to residents of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. We welcome you back to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson. We're back on Friday to conclude our week's broadcast at 5 o'clock. And Friday, of course, is the Thursday when Monday Night Football is in town. All right, talk all week, Chris. Mark Sanchez, your expectations?
I think he'll run the offense efficiently. I thought he played better than his numbers showed last Sunday in Houston. The big thing is he'll have the full week of preparation. He knows he's the guy going into the game, and I think he'll be mentally and physically prepared to put on a show for the fans at Lincoln Financial Field.
Yeah, he certainly has handled all of the media, all of the extraneous stuff very, very well this week, and certainly playing with a joy in his game and in his gait so far. So anyway, what do we think? I don't know. What do you think? Well, what do the guys who've played the game think? We go to our game plan experts, our progress report, Mike Quick and Ike Reese. The progress, of course, on Mark Sanchez.
All right, Mike, last week we got our first regular season look of action.
from backup quarterback Mark Sanchez. And I got to tell you, from the first play that he was in there for, he did not look like a backup. We saw this play a little earlier in the game with Nick. Nice play action fake to Shady McCoy out of the backfield. You're going to get Jordan Matthews coming over. And we got Jeremy Maclin going down the field here. Walk us through this play from the backside.
I think what really impressed me overall was the quick decision-making by Mark Sanchez. A little play action here, and right away he goes on top to Jeremy Maclin. But you'll see that throughout the course of the game with Sanchez, making very quick decision, getting the football out.
And he knows this guy right here is reading Shady McCoy. So that play action fakes holds DJ Swearinger and allows Mark Sanchez to put the ball right up the hash.
Swearinger, a safety with his eyes in the wrong place. He's watching in the backfield while the Eagles' speediest receiver runs right by him.
Nice job by the Eagles in the red zone here. They motion to empty. They're going to try to get four verticals with a hook over here. And the key to this play, I believe, is Mark Sanchez's eyes, the safety here. He's going to take a look here, hold the safety, and there's a nice open pocket back here for Mark Sanchez just to drop this ball in a bucket to Jordan Matthews.
And I like the release by Jordan Matthews. A little hesitation at the line of scrimmage. He gets vertical right away, gets that corner on his shoulder, and Mark Sanchez knows right away he's got a play in the end zone to Jordan Matthews, the rookie. Real nice play, but perfectly thrown football by Mark Sanchez.
And the reason why Chip likes big receivers in that slot, because if that's a 5'11 receiver in the slot, on this cornerback, that's a 50-50 ball, meaning that it's a 50-50 chance the DB can get it or the receiver can get it. With a 6'2", 6'3 receiver versus a 5'11 corner, just put it up there, let the big guy go get it.
And the big bonus here is they're in the red zone. They were 3-for-3 in the red zone, and that's a big stat in this football game.
You talked about Mark and his ability to get rid of the ball quick. What I like about this play here, again, you got receivers going up and Mark's recognition that these guys are basically covered. He understands that his offensive line can only hold up for so long. So what does he do to aid them? He gets the ball out fast. Nice job of checking down here to Josh Huff.
Note the deep safety. See those two deep safeties? He knows that he's not going to get that throw down the field. So right away, decisive, getting the football to an open guy and allowing Huff to just run with the football.
And that's key because that was third down. And even though he threw the ball to Huff short of the first down, Huff's a nice receiver with the run after the catch. He gives him an opportunity to pick up the first down as opposed to forcing a throw down the field. Again, you're talking about decision making. This play here, he recognizes the front, but more importantly, this is a run play call originally. Yep. He recognizes this cornerback is off of Josh Huff. So what does he do? When the ball is snapped, he basically raises up and throws the ball out here to Josh Huff.
The offensive line, nobody knows except the quarterback receiver exactly where this football is going to go, because you're exactly right. He sees that off coverage, and right away he takes advantage of that off coverage. Josh Huff gets a first down.
The one thing you noticed about Mark immediately when he came in the game is that he's calm in the pocket. He certainly was prepared to play. He's a veteran. He's been in these situations before, and it certainly didn't look like the Eagles offense missed a beat with Sanchez behind center.
Well, now we take a look at the Eagles network programming for the weekend. The game plan show presented by Verizon Wireless Saturday at 7:30 on 6ABC in Philadelphia. A couple of airtimes for Inside the Eagles on 6ABC in Philadelphia. The Eagles game plan show re-airs 11:30 on Sunday on 6ABC. And then the game day final will come your way Tuesday after the Monday night game. Eagles Extra presented by Acme on Comcast Sportsnet. And the Eagles fifth quarter radio show 2 hours after the Eagles game on 94 WIP. And of course, we'll have all of our coverage right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and our digital network throughout the weekend. And the kickoff show 30 minutes before the game. And then we're live with the halftime report, the silent drill team at Lincoln Financial Field at halftime. It's Military Day, of course. Postgame show presented by Rico right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We'll have everything live for you coming from Lincoln Financial Field late in the evening on Monday. And we'll see a familiar face on Monday night, Chris. Former Eagles wide receiver Jason Avant back in town as a member of the Carolina Panthers. And even though he's wearing the Carolina blue, still a soft spot in my heart for him.
Well, yes, great guy. But on Monday night, he's on the opposition. He's a part of the Carolina Panthers, a sure-handed receiver, had a great tenure here in Philadelphia. Well, the members of the media here had a chance to catch up with him to get his thoughts on his time in Philadelphia and what he's doing now as a member of the Panthers in this week's conference call.
And the type of offense that Coach Kelly runs, there's going to be opportunities and there's going to be a lot of easy catches. And when you have a guy as dynamic as Mac, those turn into 10, 15-yard gains, and then you have his deep threat ability. So I knew if that he would be healthy, he'll be fine. You know, with a guy that works as hard as he does, like I said, he deserves it.
If you want to check out the entire conference call of not only Jason Avant, but former Eagles assistant coach Ron Rivera, make sure you check out PhiladelphiaEagles.com as the archives are now available. So, Dave, big game Monday night, but we still got to wait just a little bit longer.
Yeah, the wait is, as Tom Petty said, the waiting is the hardest part. That's two before your time.
Yeah.
All right, for Chris McPherson, I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Eagles 360 returns on Friday at 5 p.m. Until then, have yourselves a great Eagles Day.